Call for order the Health Education Welfare Committee meeting. With that, I'm going to ask Director Jack.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Roll call, please. Shirley Nade. Dodie Barnett.
Present.
Johnny Green.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Lucia Tiger.
Present.
I'm sure you've got four present and one absent.
Four present and one absent. Constitutes quorum. All business conducted will be official. This is approval of minutes for November the 9th.
Madam Chair, make a motion to approve the minutes.
A motion by Ms. Barnett to approve the minutes with any needed changes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
I'm sure you got three in favor and zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. November 9th minutes are approved.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to move NCA 15-248 to the top of the agenda.
Motion by Ms. Barnett to move NCA 15-248 to the top of the agenda.
Second
by Ms. Tiger. Voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We'll address NCA 15-248. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek citizen. A sponsor is Representative Jack. It was postponed on the 9th.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have Mr. Solomon Wilson here.
I'm making a motion. Do you pass?
Okay.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Tiger. Discussion? Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Wilson?
So I had to take off and withdraw, and I didn't get to finish my two classes that I needed to. And I only got two classes to finish my associate's degree, and then I had to go to college. And so that's one of the reasons why I didn't keep up with that, because I got on financial aid suspension on that, and financial aid didn't cover sort of what came out of pocket. And during that part of my life, I had to say, wasn't able to stay. And that's all I needed to go back to school, because I can go to another institution and still have the balance from another school. So, but all my financial aid and tuition was always covered by financial aid and student loans. And that was the only semester that it was covered by.
I think that was another one of our questions, was that there was a page that showed a refund amount on that. And so the question was where that came from and why there was a shortfall if you were refunded money. Do you see where I'm talking about?
It's right.
Oh yeah, right here. was like maybe student loans that you took out for living expenses or something?
Yeah, that's student loan.
Okay, because I think that was kind of the bigger question, is that that amount could have covered the amount that was requested.
Yeah, it all went on the tuition that what I could pay for and stuff. I haven't got that amount.
So you don't have like student loans that total up for that refund amount?
Oh, the student loans is up to 35.
Per semester?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then.
But everything to pay on the tuition itself, but
right.
So I never had anything with the.
Reverend Barnett, will you rephrase your question again? What did you ask?
I asked where the on the page that is listing spring 2013, 2014, and summer 2015. It had an overall total refunded amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of our questions last time, was why that money, if it was refunded, why it wasn't used towards the balance. But he said that he never received that from the school.
Right, so she had asked the same question. I'm sorry. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. So it goes back to the same thing. It says overall total paid in was 35,409.31. Overall total owed was 20,808. So what was your answer on where the 14,000 went to or was paid towards? Because his overall total refund is 17,521.29.
Yeah, well, it's on hers, like most of it went on the tuition that I had paid for and stuff, but I never went to school. My last semester was in 2010. So I don't know where all this summer 2015 came from. But the 35,409.31, that's how much I owe in student loans.
You're saying the 35,409.31 is what you own student loans?
Yeah.
Then the 20,808.48 is what was paid into OSU IT, correct?
Yes.
So I guess my question would be, what did you put the difference to? And I guess I might have missed that, or if you did address that, what was that to now?
The last numbers, it's confusing to me because, like I said,
questions?
Yes, Madam Chair. Mr. Wilson, on the first page of legislation, the total amount he owes is $2,920.46 plus $438.07. What was the $438.07?
Collection, okay, which is paragraph.
I'll see what it is.
He found it.
Okay, so have you talked to Ms. Fitzel about this after, or have you, since you don't have any knowledge of this, would you be objective to speaking with her about this and finding out how this is broken down? Because the way it looks to me, if I'm reading it, it shows that you received above and beyond the $20,000, you know, I guess it's total refunded $17,521.29. And it shows you still owe, like you, the balance you say $29,020.46. So that's one of the concerns that I have on that is if you were refunded, why you would be refunded that if you still have balance.
Yeah, I guess I'd get more on this part of this. Since I haven't been to school in a few semesters, that's all they can disclose to y'all. So when I was still in school, it was sort of the semester that was broken down and what I paid in with financial aid and that Pell Grant that I get. And then with the, I guess where the college was still a partnership with OSHA-T. But it didn't even show that on here. But from the summer of 2012 to all the way in the summer of 2015, I don't know where those numbers come from. I wasn't even in school at that time.
So would you want to go back and get more information?
Yeah.
See where this all comes from?
Yeah, I'll do that.
No.
So I can make a motion to postpone this. What I need to do is make a motion to postpone it indefinitely, and then Mitch can bring it in new because we're at the end of the year, so we need to start the new year off with the new legislation. So is that okay if I postpone it indefinitely, and then Mitch can reintroduce it back in January or whenever you get the information? It doesn't have to be January. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be fine. And, I've been thinking anyway, so maybe start school in the summertime, next summer. So that way, have everything more secure and stuff, also in that part.
It is amend my motion?
Yes. No, you should
amend the motion to
just
make a withdrawal of that motion, and then no, she's like,
just make a motion.
Make motion to postpone it.
There you go.
Motion made by Ms. Barnett, postponed indefinitely. Second by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. NCA 15-248 is postponed indefinitely. Thank you. Next on the agenda is TR 15-214, a tribal resolution in the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a universal service fund disclosure agreement for funding telemedicine and an Oklahoma telemedicine affidavit on behalf of the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health and the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. As sponsors, Mr. Jennings.
Motion for due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. What this is there's two different types of reimbursement that you can receive. There's this reimbursement, and then there's a federal reimbursement, which is 65%. What we do is we go after these reimbursements and they help aid with how we pay for our IT network. What this is going to allow us to do is work with the Oklahoma Corporation Commission and AT&T, allowing AT to be funded to a certain amount where they can help pay for our network. And then what we're going to be seeking from this point, we're going to go try to go after the federal, which is a 65% reimbursement. And so this is a kind of a new route and a new direction that we're kind of on.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions?
So the Universal Service Fund was set up to help provide network in rural areas back in the 90s. So, but some of those areas, the provider that goes in through the Universal Service Fund has a monopoly on that area. Are we locked into AT&T that's only...
AT&T has monopoly almost everywhere. You know, they go from, let's say, for all the chemo project, they go all the way down to Amarillo, Texas. So we're locked into them.
Do you know how many more years on that?
Because
usually it's 10 years from the time they come in.
No, I don't. I know even if, where we at, I think if we go a little bit more east this way, there's a provider that comes and provides the service for us, but they have to go through AT&T before they can come help us out. So that's a good question.
Are the rates competitive with more urban areas? I mean, are we getting raked over the poles?
Well, they're very competitive, but the issue we have is their service. They have cut their service down, which they're not being responsive since they have limited staff. If we had an outage in Okemah, that usually took about 15 minutes. Now it's taking hours to get it resolved. And that's just not Okemah, it's all of our services. And so that hurts that we can guess that that'll get you.
That's what's up. Thank you, Hunter.
Thank you. Any more questions? Not roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. This is TR15-215, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a service agreement renewal on behalf of the Nation's Department of Health, Vistaris Corporation. Our sponsor is Mr. Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion?
Thank you. What this is, this is just a sterilizer agreement that with the sterilizer that we have in our Okemah hospital. And that's just allowing us to enter into an agreement with this particular company, allow them to service and on that particular company.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, Mr. Tiger.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and ask the date 10/1/15 on here. It's still the agreement renewal was 10/1/15. That's everything's good to go with that since we're getting that.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying we're trading energy. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Manchetti, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 15-258, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Social Security Assistance Program for the purpose of providing legal, paralegal services to Muscogee Creek Nation citizens appealing their Social Security disability denials. And the sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a due pass. Second by Mr. Jennings. In discussion?
Are you hearing this? I am, and I'm going to defer to Lillian and Thomas. She's the manager of the program.
Okay. Miss I didn't see you. I stood within your way.
I was trying to hide. Okay, on this money that is appropriated to our program helps our Creek citizens tremendously, because when their disability case gets to the hearings level, that means there's about 2 years of back pay involved. And in the past, before we got the paralegal, we were referring them to attorneys. And these attorneys required 1/4 of the back pay or $6,000 maximum payment as for their services. And with our Wainwright helping us, the, our claimants don't have to give up any of their back pay. And I just think it's a great service to our citizens for us to be able to provide this service to them. And I'm thankful to the National Council and Chief Tiger for initiating this in the beginning.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
My only question is, how many citizens did the department help last year, do you know?
Okay, in 2014, we didn't have the services of the paralegal, and there was about 32 cases that went to the hearings level. And I have the amount of back pay on those cases for last year, for regular Social Security, retro payments in the Title II amounted to $59,516. And out of that amount, attorney fees were $20,000. And in the Title 16, which is the SSI program, there was a total back pay of $72,695. And out of that, the attorney fees were $6,530. And so far this year, we've had a total retroactive Title II payment of $13,483, and SSI is $22,173. We still have some pending cases where we haven't gotten the award notices yet. So this year they got that full back pay without anything going to an attorney.
Questions from other councilors? Thank you. Roll call vote.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. Motion passes. Be safe to VFNJ. For funding source. Next is NCA 15-259. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Payton Public Schools. Sponsor is Representative Hill.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. A discussion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor to this, please.
Okay. Mr. Tiger will be added as a co-sponsor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'd like to give some time to Ms. Stiles. She's the superintendent paper.
Yes, and I'm new at this, so bear with me, please. My athletic director is supposed to come in. He has a game tonight, so he didn't make it. For the past few years, I guess Mr. Northcutt, our past superintendent, he had a come to Creek Nation for donation for our tournament. We held an invitational tournament in January. Referee fees come to about $2,640 for the 3 days of games. And for the last couple of years or so, Creek Nation has donated $2,000 to that to help cover those costs. And we have several Creek Nation kids that play in those games. We have Mason, Payton, what else? Let me see, I think he's got it written down here for me. Payton, Mason, Graham, Dustin, Malika, and several of the surrounding school districts that have a high number of Indian students. So we were trying to see if y'all would help us out with that again this year.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Yes. My question is, do your students use MyLong, our literacy program?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, we have another training coming I think next week. Randy, as Mark mentioned, she's coming to train them again. She trained me 2 or 3 years ago and my counselor, and we had a few kids that were trained, but they've this year having trouble getting them trained, so she's going to come down and do it for us.
Okay.
That's probably where I know you're from, isn't it?
Thank you.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BFNJ for funding source. Next is NCA 15-260, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation for unpaid funeral expenses of a Muscogee Creek descendant. Sponsor is Speaker Yohola.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion?
Mr. Yohola.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. About 2.5 weeks ago, we had the family of Samuel Buckner, came in, and he had, passed away, and they were making arrangements, for his funeral. And the question that that came up was that he was not enrolled as a citizen, and so that was a problem. And so what we did, there were, I think, two other council members in attendance with me when they were here. And so following some discussion, we asked why he was not enrolled, and he had been convicted and had spent all of his adult life in the family institution. So he did not have an opportunity to enroll, and that was before even the Constitution. That enabled us, to enroll as citizens. Did some further checking. I just checked with his sister, who was here also, Regina Buckner McVeigh. Checked with the Citizenship Board, and she is enrolled. His sister is the one that wrote the letter that you have in your packet that asked for this assistance. And so knowing the Buckner family, I know who they are. And so also, they brought with them some information on who the paternal grandparents were, the maternal grandparents also, and they were enrolled. And I called the Citizenship Board, and they were indeed enrolled. And also, the parents of James Buckner were not enrolled. They died, prior to enrollment, so they didn't have a roll number. So I had to call the funeral home and told them the situation and told them possibly we would have to get legislation for this, and he understood that. So we're just kind of waiting on what the decision, the committee might be. So anyway, this is for your consideration.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment, and I feel like that we need to get with the reintegration program and our citizenship board, or and have them go through and see if there may be others that are in there at this time and find out if they can enroll them. But no, I'm in support of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? This also included the travel for her.
No, it didn't. It did not include travel, just the funeral expenses, which coincides with the statement that's attached from the funeral home. Mm-hmm. And these individuals, they lived, I went so far as I went down to McAllister to attempt to get his birth certificate. And then talking with them, I was told that I would need a court order to be able to, pursue that. And also asked that his sister pursue it, but she lives in Virginia, so she's home. So I didn't have any other recourse but to, bring this with this information, for you.
Thank you. Any questions? Not roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Make sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. It will be sent to BF&J for funding source.
Okay, move.
This is NCA 15-261. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek youth. Sponsors the Representative Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion.
Madam Chair, if we have his grandma here, so I think he's here.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Russell.
As a counselor, good to be here. And I represent my grandson. He's in Oklahoma Middle School. And he's had a chance to go to Washington, D.C. and view the monuments. And this is an educational thing with the World Stride. And they will be leaving in May 23rd. But we're just asking for if you can meet us halfway with the finances on getting it here. So we've been having an Indian taco sale, which has done very well with us, and my daughter's full with me, so you know, we're raising money to help pay for her finances too.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. Motion passes. Be sent to BF&J for funding source. Other business, we have 4 TRs and 1 NC. I think it's the NCA for other business.
Madam Chair, make a motion to add TR 15-226, TR 15-227, TR 15-230, TR 15-231, and NCA 15-2672 to the agenda.
Motion has been made to add the 4 TRs and the 1 NCA to the agenda.
Second
by Mr. Jennings. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We will address the TRs. First is TR 15-226, a trial resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a services agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and Emergency Medical Services for the purpose of providing ambulance services for the Muscogee Creek Nation Physical Rehabilitation Center.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion.
Thank you. What this is with the Okmulgee Emergency Medical Services. Our ambulance that we have at the medical center is only for transportation for the patients at the medical center and the patients at the PRC, either back and forth with each other or having to go to the facility. Since we are not allowed to establish a medical service or an EMS here, Okmulgee has that jurisdiction, and per regulations, we have to have an agreement in place for 911 services, and so this is what that agreement for our facilities have to have that agreement in place.
Thank you. Mr. Tiger.
Thank you. Most of the time, we're just 30 to 60 days out. This was back in June with the original signature, and then it says it for June 15th through 2015. What was the holdup on this one? How come this one was so 6 months ago?
A lot of it, like we discussed, is just get it over there, and it's just having time to look at it.
I'm not using that.
Yeah.
Give me a comment.
They're very busy.
Anybody from the AG's office have any comment on that?
No, not any comment.
That's
from what we talked about last meeting when I was at.
Okay. All right, thank you.
More questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 15-227, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a memorandum of agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Oklahoma City Area Office of the Indian Health Service.
Motion for due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion?
Yes, this is for the PHN that we have at Eufaula. I will take full responsibility. The ball was dropped in regards to this agreement between the Indian Health Service and the Department of Health. We couldn't find it. They had it. We had it. They thought they sent it. They did that. And so, and then we finally just started it all over. And
any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Tony Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 15-230, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a lease agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and Pitney Bowes for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health facilities. Sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Jennings. Discussion?
This is just the mailing system that we have within the Department of Health. It's just the agreement that we have with this particular company with the equipment and the services that it's provided.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Tony Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 15-231, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a skilled nursing facility participation agreement for the Department of Health. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. A discussion?
Can I see the information? This is just allowing that facility to participate and serve as a provider for reimbursement within, so that we can receive third-party reimbursement.
Okay. Are there any questions? Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Tony Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 15-267, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Ryle Public School. Sponsor, Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion?
Ms. Maxwell here.
Yes.
Do you want to come up, please? Have a seat. So, the committee has legislation and then they have the law.
Do we need to just explain it?
I was going to say, please.
So, basically, there's a federal law in No Child Left Behind that says if the school spends more than 10% less 1 year than they did the year before, they don't make maintenance of effort. So if they're trying to save money, they can only do it by 10%, because if they do it by 11 or more, they don't make maintenance of effort. If you don't make maintenance of effort, you don't get your impact aid funds. And impact aid is basically if a parent lives or a student lives on Indian land or their parent works on Indian land, then you don't get ad valorem normal taxes, so we get impact aid. So for Ryle, since we have so many Native American students, that's a tremendous amount of money that we depend on every year. And I have tried everything you can think of to get around it, to get the law changed. I've talked to senators, legislators. My board president is here. He's been calling also. They did actually change the law so that the wording is not in there anymore. So no schools will have to worry about it anymore. But they didn't make it retroactive back to 2014, and there's like a 2-year lag. So it still hits us, and it's still in law.
Yes. That's amazing. Okay. Can you also go over what impact aid, losing that, means for your other federal funding? Because impact aid wasn't the only money that you lost.
Right. Well, then we also lose 10% of our other federal funding. But the other federal funding, 10% of it is only $3,500. So we could take that loss and be okay, but impact aid is $276,000, and that we didn't think we would make it past December, but we did. So we have money to make it in January, but at the end of January we'll have to close. There's just no way around it.
Any questions? Jennings.
So do you have a 5-day school week still yet?
No, we have a 4-day.
You do?
We went to that last year. Well, last year was my first year. And so after school started, because of the finances and things, we switched to that. And we actually had parents vote on it. And because most of them were transfer in, it was 95% wanted it. So we went to that, and it's worked very well. And okay. It saved money also.
All right. Thank you.
Questions? Any representatives have any questions?
I just have one more comment. thank you, Manager. I sponsored this. Miss Maxwell did not ask me. I actually called her and offered to do this because they do have so many Muscogee Creek students. 85% of their student count are Muscogee Creek, and they have 90% Native. So these are our Creek kids, and they're in one of the most poor school districts. And the poor school districts, as we all know, are the ones that get kicked around, left behind, and closed, and lose their money. So, you know, whether this passes or not, I know Ms. Maxwell knows it's up to the council, and she's not going to take it personal. And we have other things to consider, I realize. But, you know, we have done this before. We did this for Gypsy. Back in 2012 or 2013, it was when I first came to council. We gave them a chunk of money to keep their doors open as well, and they haven't been back. They were able to manage through that crisis, and they haven't been back since. So I just would ask that the committee and the council consider supporting this if it makes it past committee.
Thank you. Have you spoken with the? I'm sorry. Have you spoken with the controller?
No, we thought she was going to be here today. She was asked to be here, so.
We just put another call into it, but no word yet. This is my second year at Ryle, and
I've worked 17 years at another school, other districts. And the people that I've hired who have been at other districts, you would not imagine the difference at Ryle. It's, we don't have the behaviors. We don't have the parents telling us it's our fault. I mean, I don't have to call very much, but if I call a parent, they're very supportive. And when they come to lunch, the boys let the girls go first, and you're all welcome to walk in at any point in time. You can see the difference in the culture. And if they have to be dispersed to other schools, they will lose it.
Thank you. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. It will be sent to BFNJ for the funding source. all on other business. So are there any announcements?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lisa, I had April send out some emails to have community research and development here, tribal construction here.
Force account.
Who else do we have?
Force account.
Force account, housing.
And controller.
There we go. And the controller. And the reason that we sent, I requested this email to be sent out is, first off, TCIC's legislation was passed 3-4 months ago to do their canopy, what have you, in the back. Can you tell me why we haven't started on that yet, please?
Yes, the reason...
Start with tribal construction, please.
Oh, sorry. The account hasn't been set up yet for that particular project, and so we're waiting for the account. I know the funds have been dispersed to the nation for that new law that was passed, but I think finances and right now they're trying to find a location for that money so we can withdraw money from that account. That's why we haven't started.
Let's get in.
It has to do with, I guess, the way the legislation was written out, where we can actually put that money in order to be able to use that. I think there was some concerns about the side by we had the authority after I had them take that and get an opinion from AG's office. I think the authority is out there for us to actually use the money, but to where to put that funding. Put that money right now so that we can expend out of it is been the issue. We don't have a revolving account for that for tribal construction. We wanted to put it in capital improvements, but as a separate line item. Budget area had an issue with that because we do appropriate out of capital improvements, but I believe we can put that in there as a separate line item to keep those funds separate. It's the accounting portion of it that we're trying to get it in an area because it's not specified where that money will be put, other than it just goes to Treasury. And tribal construction has oversight.
Okay, and what's hard for me to address to TCIC is they've already sent the money. It's their money. And there's no...
We're still holding it as...
Right, but the whole issue with that is, was we did the legislation, it passed, they sent in their monies, and I'm assuming that money check, all that check cleared, everything's good there, but there's no construction going on. They're getting aggravated and upset, and I completely understand because they prepaid, and yet it's still not going on. So nothing's different than it was before in their eyes.
If we can please have a legislation like that, because I know there'll be other projects with tribal construction in the county, that when we're writing legislation up, that we can be consulted so that we can make sure it's in there and be able to put that in a fund that we can use and be acceptable as far as accounting-wise, that we can have that all written in there. That right now we've consulted with the AG's office to make sure we have the authority in with our auditors where we can put that and make sure that everything's set up for auditing. So we're actually now prepared to put that in capital improvements as a separate line item.
I guess what I don't understand is why in the world does it take so long? That's the issue, because we're going from this, and we're going to go into the Glenville legislation again. That money has been there for X amount of years, and yet we haven't started anything there. So I mean, we just keep getting ourselves further and further behind.
When you say X amount of years, I mean, we just received that.
Well, that money was appropriated in, that was 13th, 14th, Representative Barnett, Mr. Jennings?
13th.
That money was already sent to him, and it was rolled over into the treasures. That money should have already been earmarked for Glenville community still, correct?
Treasury.
So
back when it should have been.
So that money is where then?
And they turned around and wrote a check to us. Same issue. Just, you know, where do we have the authority to put it in? We're able to expand from that.
AG's office, what do we do to speed this process up? Because this has been going on way too long. What do you suggest?
One of your options as far as legislation is concerned for account funding is you can specify within the legislation what account. If you want to create an account, if it needs to be a separate line item,
That'd be the easiest.
I mean, I've talked with Kevin and Roger, and they said that the way we've had it, that it gives all authority to the controller to earmark those, just to open that account fund. That's all we need is something to bill to, I guess, charge the fund. And I don't know what the confusion as far as, I mean, I understand there's been some confusion, but the controller has complete authority over those funds. So it's, they have that authority to make those, you know, line accounts. So that was the holdup, I guess. We didn't understand where that issue, and we can't grant that to them. I mean, they were, the controller's office already has that. So it was, I guess we were just kind of waiting on the controller's office to tell us what account to build for construction to get started.
We have the authority to use that funding. It wasn't specified. I had problems with the budget area understanding that as the controller's office, we have the authority to do that. So now we're trying to get that into capital improvements so that we can start that process. But I need to get that opinion from AG's office to make sure that's...
Okay, is that something we can get done this month, please? Okay, and that would tie in both Glenpool and Tulsa. That will satisfy both those, and we can get tribal construction. They can go to work on that, correct?
Yes. And probably in the future, if they have any other projects,
questions on that part? Who's here from Force Account? Thank you. How are you? What is your name?
Hey, McIntosh.
Hey, Mr. McIntosh. How are you? Okay. Community Research Development. They have some questions and concerns on billing. They think Mr. Floyd, Ms. Billy, you don't want to address this issue?
Well,
Ms. Topal, whomever.
It's important to us when you appropriate money to us to make sure that those monies are spent in a manner that protects those funds. And we had Rushhagen, say for instance, an example of Glenpool, it's basically 1 acre, and we were charged $785. There's a number of different situations like that seem to indicate that those numbers were a lot higher than we would have thought they would have been. So much to the point where we started studying the numbers, and it made more sense to start doing those things in-house as opposed to shipping them out to Force Account or even tribal construction, if we have the ability and skill level and the resources to do those things. So that's what we've been doing. And there's been some electrical, there's a number of areas that seem like the, I'll give you an example down the Ardeca. We was charged how much? Yeah. But it was an astronomical amount in terms of just doing a work write-up. We got charged like $1,000 for that. That's a lot of money to do a work write-up. To me, those figures seem to be out of line with, we have the ability to have gone down there ourselves and invited up, but we're trying to utilize Force Account. We're also trying to utilize truck construction. But we don't want to throw money out the window either. And so we're trying to look at the best ways to do some of those things, and some of them, it's about basically about four ways in which we distributed those funds out that you guys granted us through the supplemental. And one is doing it in-house. Number two is doing it contractually. Three would be Force Account, and then the other option would be tribal construction. And tribal construction, we look at them for when there's how do you say the word, structural integrity that needs more of an educated idea of what needs to be done in terms of the buildings. We certainly send those to Tribal Construction for their input and do the work right up.
Thank you. Mr. McIntosh? Any comments on that?
Yeah, most of ours was just the work order just come, they were pretty vague. And in order for my guys to order you know, we got to go check it out, see what all we need. And as far as the brush, how we did, well, I don't know how they got on there because I didn't have brush. And I don't know, they don't do a cost center on me.
Who governs your building? I mean, where does that come from? If you don't actually write up the invoices yourself, or do you?
No, we turn in a call center to Debbie Hefner. She does the building.
Her housing?
Yeah.
Okay. So then this would be a question for her or
yeah,
for?
Yeah, we just put how many hours we're there. And sometimes she says our labor cost is $99 an hour. Sometimes she says it's $75.
So really, she's the one that we would need to talk to as to what the scale is for what services.
Yeah.
What was her name again?
Debbie Hefner.
And that would go back to, it says GSA has an exclusive responsibility to maintain charter community buildings and facilities. Would that not include, it says this includes landscaping, therefore that would be mowing, correct? Mr. Daddy?
Yeah.
So how in the world are we getting charged to have some of our community properties, $785 to have them brush hogged? It says GSA has exclusive responsibility to maintain charter community buildings and facilities. It says this includes landscaping, general maintenance, and repairs, including but not limited to equipment maintenance, repair and replacement of equipment, and repair and replacement of items such as doors, locks, windows, carpet, lighting fixtures.
I don't know who's going to come over to brush hogging. That's what we're talking about, brush hogging. We get work orders from community research and development. We try to go do them.
Mr. Jones?
Well, what we do is the process is that when we get a call from the community, we have a person that goes out and checks it out, and then it determines where it goes. I think in the early part of the year, the spring, facilities was going out and taking care of the communities, I'm assuming, because we didn't get involved until about June when you guys appropriated the supplemental. And then from that point on up until now, we're doing the landscaping, we're doing the brush hogging, we're doing the cutting the grass and all those things now. In addition to the maintenance that we're doing in different places. The only time that we might send something over would be, say, it involves the nutrition center, which we wouldn't be involved in, and then we would refer that on to facilities.
And with that being said, Mr. Dowdy, the nutrition at Holdenville Community, we were down there for the Christmas dinner Saturday. What is the issue there? What is the, why is it taking so long? Why is carpet halfway torn up, not replaced? Ceiling
roof.
But they've been they've been unable to eat in there for how many months, Representative Barnett? Were we informed?
Since June.
Since June.
Going on for 6 months.
Since it started raining.
Right.
We found the leak. We sealed the front, which the water was coming in the front. We sealed it, waited for the next rain. It didn't rain. We had was ready to go in and finish the renovation. It rained and it came in again. So we had to get back up, look at the roof, do some caulking and sealing on the roof. It's a metal roof. Tighten some screws down. See where we could see. I have pictures of the roof. It looks like a good looking roof. But I don't know how old it is, 2008 or 7. But they're getting water in it, and it's not dripping at that time. It's kind of puddling up somewhere and then coming in later after a day or half a day or whatever, that is what they were saying. So after the third time, I asked for a roofer that roofed over here to take a look at it and see what that Last American cost us to seal it. We can't find it. It's a metal roof and it looks good.
Because, you know, our elders expect the nation, you know, to take care of them. When we see that, and they haven't been able to use that since June. To me, that's unacceptable, because you have carpet that has been partially torn up in there. Either we're going to take it up, or something. From where it is now, it's got to be taken up. So I don't understand how come we didn't get all this done and then go back and let's figure out the roof, because you can't just tear a quarter of the carpet up and leave it there. You know, I mean, to me, I don't understand how it could take 6 months.
Well,
I'm definitely not a construction guy. But
we were there. The people there was different remediation was there.
Right.
And some lady in the office told them not to lay the carpet down until we got the roof fixed. So we did. And since then, we've been trying to fix the roof to keep it from leaking. Also, the back door, the water comes in that way. Trying to keep water coming in so we can replace the carpet. It has been, the walls have been fixed. It's just the carpet and putting things back that hasn't been. And we've been down there and talked to them, and they said they were fine.
All right, that goes back to, again, maybe I'm misinterpreting the laws, but it's the building is the property of the nation. So whether they think it's fine or not, it should be ready to use on a daily basis, whether anybody thinks it's fine or not. And then when we go down there and see it and they complain to us, and I wasn't the only one that was there, but they complained to us, at the end of the day, it's ours, let's fix it right, sooner than later. Because now we're 6 months into it and it's not gonna be fixed until, we don't know, February, March, April. That sound, am I close? But we're just now having the legislation come up for the monies for the roof.
Yeah, because we've been trying to find the leaks.
It's my understanding that with the legislation that's been put in front of you for the 80-something thousand, or however much it is, I talked to the person today with that company. He said that it's probably a 2-week window as far as them applying it and being complete. So as soon as the legislation is approved, and then we get all the financial account stuff set up, and we give them a notice to proceed, and he told me that they can be done in 2 weeks as far as completing the patch or the permanent fix for the roof system. It has a 10-year warranty, so it's only the last 10 years, based on the warranty.
So if the legislation passes in the meetings of 19th, so we're still looking at the middle of January for the roof, probably, if we're lucky.
Potentially, yes.
Middle to the end of January. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my whole problem with this is I thought when we were being asked to approve these legislations to give community research and development monies to take care of our buildings, we use force account, keep our own people run up and down the road so we're recycling our money. You know, use facilities, use tribal construction. I thought we were going to help our people, not make them wait 6 months and have our elders have no place to eat. That's their fellowship time. That's where they connect. That's the community. That's what they're all about. And these people are having to eat at home because we don't have a place for them to eat a meal together in a community center where they're supposed to be coming together. So we ask you guys to come in here, and you have a defensive tone. Don't return our phone calls half the time when we call you.
Who's calling me?
I'm just talking about since I've been on council. There's been times I've called you, you never even call me back. So I'm just saying, the whole reason we're asking all this is help our people. Why should we have to appropriate $80,000 for a roof that should already be fixed months ago? If it's going to take 2 weeks to fix it, why is it taking 6 months? I know you keep saying you're looking for a leak. Well, how long does that take? I mean, at what point do you say, you know what, we can't find a leak, let's just put a new roof on it? And I know sometimes that's frivolous, and I know we're looking at budgetary matters, but we're also talking about taking care of a building. How much damage has been done in the 6 months that we've been looking for this leak? How many times has it rained in the last 6 months? I'm just very frustrated because, you know, you say you go down there and they say they're fine. That's funny, because every time we show up, they're not fine. Thank you.
Is that all, Mr. Tiger?
Just clarification. We're going to get TCIC as well as Glenpool where we can get to work on those this month, hopefully. And then middle to the end of January for the roof at Holdenville.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to speak, I guess we need to visit with Ms. Hefner in Forest County. Correct, Mr. McIndoe?
Yeah, in housing.
In housing?
Yeah.
I appreciate everyone that received the emails coming in. And hearing the reason I did that, I just want to get everyone together and get all this out in the open, because you hear from one entity, then you hear something different from another, so that way we're all in the same room, we can get this figured out. Also, the AG's office, thank you all very much for being here, answering questions as well. So, basically, the main thing that I, myself, and I believe the rest of the council, we just want to be able to find a way to make this a smoother, better transition, and it hasn't gone really well on getting things fixed and through, especially when TCIC sends their money in, they've already paid for the construction they want done. You know, there's nothing we can tell them, but we don't know why. You know, and if it was my money, I'd be the same way. I'd be like, please give me a better answer, and I don't know why. So that's the main reason I called everyone in here. I appreciate you all coming. Thank you very much.
The supplemental that the National Council was gracious enough to give to CR&D for maintenance, it's not major projects. And so with that in mind, I have a listing of all our work orders. Since we took over light maintenance, if I may approach, copy for everyone. We've done about 175 work orders. So, some of that has been through Forest County, some of it has been in-house, some of it's been done contractually. So we're processing a number of work orders. And Forest County is really, really great about when we send a work order to them, they're out there usually that day, but sometimes the next day.
Madam Chair, with that being said, Cromwell, Shakota, what's the update on those?
Cromwell Construction.
Cromwell, the solicitation for the renovation was due back today at 1:30. So I can open those bids when I get back to the office. The retaining wall was completed a while back to hold the water back to keep it from flooding. And then Shakota, Brent, you want to talk
about? Shakota, the waterproofing has been done. It was done by Commercial Waterproofing, a general contractor. Our apprentice program crew are there today, and they're rebuilding the handicap ramp out of one of the emergency doors, and we're adding steps to another emergency door. Them two doors are not used that often, but they are there for emergency reasons. The only other entrances is the front and the back door. They're building them today. We're forming up the sidewalks that we had to remove due to digging out the basement. We're forming them up today, and as soon as we get that done, get the sidewalks poured, we're ready to the Commercial Waterproofing is going to come in and sod the areas that they had to disrupt in order to dig out the basement. Mr. Jones's crew has done a lot of demo inside the basement. Been in there several times during this last rain. The basement, from what I see, is waterproofed. Didn't see any water coming in the basement when I was in there during this last week of several rains. Dustin and I are going to try to get down there at some point this week to do an estimate on rebuilding the basement, as far as putting all the sheetrock, flooring, cabinets. And we do need to have some conversation with the community chairman, but we'd like to come up with a floor plan for them to look at that's similar to our new centers, which is not the same square footage, but it could be utilized for kitchen space and with the commercial appliances, sort of the same way they are. We've got that to do, but that will be money that'll to do that once we get this plan agreed upon. that there will need to be an appropriation to rebuild that kitchen. But it's an ongoing process, but I think we're getting close to construction instead of destruction. So
good.
That's where we're at.
Thank you very much.
I might add that the waterproofing was paid through the supplemental, and so we're utilizing it for those kind of things, and appreciate the expertise that these guys got in terms of being able to do the waterproofing, because it takes a special kind of company to be able to provide that service.
Thank you.
And we also funded the chrome well.
Yeah, the stem wall. Retaining wall, right.
Isn't that like $40,000, is that right?
Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Jennings.
Thank you. I know everybody's feel like jumping on them and everything, but I just want to say thank you to Tribal Construction, GSA, and the Community Research and Development. We had an issue at the Head Start last week, and GSA and Tribal Construction both got on it, and I think it's going to work out fine. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, questions? Appreciate all of you coming. Appreciate your work. Are there no more questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Under other business as well, I'm a member. We were formerly Salt Creek United Methodist. We have started seceding from the United Methodist Conference, and we got a nice little letter saying that the United Methodist owned our church to turn the keys over, and they were shutting us down. One acre of our property is Dawes Commission land, so that has never been owned by the conference. That's Dawes Commission land. That's held in trust by the tribe, obviously, and so I know that the apportionments with the Methodist Conference have been very high. We're not the only church that wanted to leave. I know there are others. Whether they will or not, I don't know. And it's not just Native churches. It's all the churches, even the Stedke churches in town, our sister church in Holdenville. They can't afford their apportionments either, and they don't know what they're going to do, because whenever you say, well, I can't pay, then they plaster your name all over the front page of the circular that goes around for the conference saying you didn't pay your apportionments. And when you say you want to leave, and they say they're shutting you down, they're going to take your property. So I just wanted the council to be aware of those issues that are going on, because the churches are probably going to end up in court with the big church. Our Creek churches are probably going to end up in court with the United Methodist Church, and the tribe is going to have to help at some point. So I just wanted everyone to be aware of that. I can answer more questions if you want. Or
just a comment. I spoke to Roger today. You'll be around with me. You can just turn the bus door. We can take a look at tires.
Yeah, we'll be there with you.
Yeah. So we're already across the situation.
Any outcomes from lawsuits or whatever? I'm chairman of our church, and we're looking at, you know, our church being 125 years old, and so that's not going to sit well if the conference decides to take our church, if we, you know, we decide to do something else, and we pay our 100% of the apportionment. So it's a discussion. I appreciate you bringing it up, because I had that question in the back of my mind for a while now.
Well, and at charge conference last week, the DS made and it did not let our preacher that we had has been kicked out of the conference because of all of this. He was not allowed to give his report. They give their biannual report, and he was not allowed to give his report. And so they're not going to play nice. So, and it all comes down to money. We, you know, our church decided to leave because we were not getting any benefits from the apportionments we were paying in. We've had lay ministers for years, so those ministers don't take part of the insurance benefits or the retirement benefits that we were paying in, helping to support. We were getting nothing in return for the money we were giving. That was part of the reason why we were wanting to leave. So, and when we asked what line items
represented and what we were paying for, the church never answered. To this day, we've been asking for 3 years, what does this line item mean? What is that going to pay for? And not once has the church ever answered our question, but they sure answered that letter saying we wanted to leave. So, anyway, I know it'll come down to that. I know we're not the only church involved, and it all comes down to me, it just reminds me of the land grab, right? So they come in, we've maintained this property all this time over the whole 120 plus years that we've had this church. The conference has only given us about $17,000 ever, and now they're going to come in and take it all back. You know, and well, I shouldn't say back. They never had it to begin with. It was ours, but so it all comes down to land. I mean, that's really what it is. So I just wanted everyone to be aware of it. That it will. It might take a year or two, three. I don't know, but it's coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just want to comment on what Ms. Barnett said. I had the occasion to have a church ask me that same question, and so I went to that particular county, went to the records, and did not see a instrument whatsoever that the church owned that property. They secured by some doctrine that they have,
yes,
that's not even recorded at the courthouse. So, but that's what you look for. When you do check records, is recorded documents, and there's no document as such where the conference can, you know, take it or even had ownership of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions? No. Motion for adjournment. Excuse me. Motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for adjournment. Second by Mr. Tiger. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. And Sharon, I want to ask a representative handoff if we give the benediction, please.